This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Visit the Poetry Foundation on the corner of Superior and Dearborn to explore their library of 40,000 books, attend public events, and view Frente a la Vida, Facing Life, a striking multidisciplinary art exhibition by Chicago artist Victoria Martinez. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Here's a little pop quiz for you this Monday morning. Which do you think costs more, building a new luxury apartment complex in the trendy Fulton Market area or affordable housing units in the Southwest Side neighborhood Auburn Gresham? The answer might surprise you. A new report by Crain's Chicago Business reveals that some affordable housing developments being built through the city's Invest Southwest program are costing much, much more than expected. Now, as you might remember, Invest Southwest was one of former Mayor Lightfoot's signature programs and touted that it would transform the city's underinvested neighborhoods for the better. Here to tell us more about his reporting into these high construction costs is Albi Galoon, senior reporter for Crain's Chicago Business. We're also joined by president of Chicago Neighborhood Initiatives, David Doig. Albi, first of all, what's the status of Invest Southwest under the Johnson administration?
Well, it's not entirely clear. Brandon Johnson has, during his campaign, he expressed his support for the program, and then he also said he wanted to actually invest more money in it. So, I would expect to see it continuing under him, and maybe even in a larger way.
David, how does your work with the Chicago Neighborhood Initiatives factor into this mission of Invest Southwest?
Yeah, so we're a part of Invest Southwest, particularly in the Roseland area, which is one of the Invest Southwest communities. So currently we're working with a team to respond to an RFP that the city issued for three sites on Michigan Avenue. In Albi, Roseland.
Yeah. Well, Albi, how did you realize that construction costs were an obstacle that's facing these affordable housing developments?
Well, actually it was when the city held a groundbreaking for the first project in Auburn Gresham. I heard from somebody in the development community who pointed out that at that time the construction cost for that project was about $700,000+ per unit, which is much higher than anything you see for, a market rate, like luxury tower in, say, Fulton Market.
Right.
And so that really kind of piqued my curiosity, and I started looking at other projects and found out that actually there are other projects that have these really high construction costs as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm baffled hearing and reading your story as well. I mean, how does that happen?
Well, it's a simple question with a complicated answer, actually. There are many, and, that was kind of the point of the story. We're trying to figure out why are these projects so expensive. And, there are really multiple factors that are that play into it. I mean, one is you hear a lot of people talking about how construction costs have jumped, since the pandemic, and that's true. But they've, gone up for everyone, not just for these projects. So that really wouldn't explain the discrepancy. So we tried to dig a little bit deeper and take a look at what's unique to these projects that makes them more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, affordable housing actually can be pretty expensive, in part because the financing is really complicated. There are multiple layers of financing, and you have all sorts of lawyers and consultants, and there's a lot of bureaucracy. And so that drives up the what are called soft costs for the project, not the actual hard construction costs. So that's definitely a factor. But we also looked at affordable projects outside of the Invest Southwest program, and we found that actually you know, yeah, they're more expensive, but they're not as expensive as Invest Southwest projects.
Yeah.
So we dug a little bit deeper and, you know, found a few things that probably contributed to the high cost. One is that they're really designed according to really, you know, high design standards. They're, you know, some pretty, you know, high-end architecture firms that are working on these projects. And, you know, other developers told me that, you know, the whole process of vetting and selecting developers is it requires a lot of bureaucratic hoops that developers have to jump through. And then, you know, contractors are actually brought into the pre-development process kind of late, and mm-hmm. that actually contributes to higher costs. So those were a few of the things that we identified as contributing factors.
And just so we're clear on the numbers here, what exactly does the disparity look like between Invest Southwest developments and the other ones that you noted across the city?
Sure. So, you know, for a luxury apartment tower in the city, say in Fulton Market, we looked at one under construction in Fulton Market. The cost of that building was $445,000 per unit, and that's under construction right now.
Okay.
And then, so we looked at there are nine Invest Southwest projects that are primarily housing, and we found that one of them was actually over $800,000 per unit, and two of them were over $700,000. And then there were four that were between $600,000 and $700,000, so well above what it would cost for, you know, that tower in Fulton Market. The average cost was $653,000 per unit.
Yeah, I mean, and David, what does this look like specifically for you in Pullman?
Yeah, I think just to maybe build on what Albie said, we are building new homes. These are single family detached homes on single lots for $350,000 all in. We're doing that in Lawndale right now. We're going to be bringing that to Roseland in the next few months. And these are going to be affordably priced. We're going to end up selling these homes probably for $250 to $270. And we have the same, you know, construction costs that other developers would have. So it's perplexing to me that it costs so much more to develop multifamily. Really, it's specific to the low-income housing tax program. And that we have costs that are basically double of what we're building, in neighborhoods in Chicago on city-owned land that has four walls, a roof, landscaping, a parking pad. So I similarly am perplexed, like Albie, about why it costs so much more to do these multifamily units.
So, Albie, how have officials from the city of Chicago responded to questions about these costs?
Well, they've cited some of the reasons that I cited in terms of rising construction costs, affordable housing, using things like low-income tax credits, as David mentioned. That's more expensive to build. And then we actually went directly to Mayor Lightfoot and asked her. And, you know, she actually... if I had to summarize her answer, it would probably come down to you're kind of missing the point here, and that is that you know, we never intended on building these projects as inexpensively as possible. And she said, actually, I'll just quote her for you. She said, "We reject the promise that development in these communities should be done on the cheap, and instead centered a commitment to high quality, sustainable projects that use world-class design and amenities to spur more growth around them." And I think the general answer that you hear from city officials is that, you know, this is not an affordable housing program. Invest Southwest is an economic development program. And so they have goals that go beyond just creating affordable housing. And so the idea is that these anchor projects that they want to build in these neighborhoods, mm-hmm. the idea is that they will spur more growth. So they're trying to signal to the private market, the private sector, that this is a good place to invest. So they're hoping that down the road that they get a return on that investment. And, you know, we're not going to know for for many years whether that investment actually generates a decent return.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's listen to a little bit more of Mayor Lightfoot. Here she is speaking on Invest Southwest at the three-year anniversary celebration that happened back in November.
Invest Southwest represents the first time in decades the city is listening to and empowering local community members and leaders. We knew that such an unprecedented program could only have impact with unprecedented coordination, partnership, trusted community voices and leaders. That's what this work is also about. It's an intrinsic part of what we're trying to accomplish. Another important part is minority participation, from design to development, to emphasize working with small businesses.
So, I mean, competitions, they've been held to select the so-called architectural showpieces that are going to be built in the target neighborhoods. So talk more, Albie, about how these priorities affect the finances of the developments.
There's a pretty extended community engagement process, and I think a lot of people would argue that's a good thing. But I do think that as I said before, there are a lot of hoops that developers have to jump through. The planning process, I think, is somewhat cumbersome. And, you know, I did talk to some of the developers who basically said, you know, we're dealing with multiple departments and there are just a lot of, you know, administrative headaches. It's really hard to quantify that, to be honest. So, I believe that up to a point, but it's really hard to know for sure how big of a factor that is. But, you know, in terms of the process, though, you know, one thing that I mentioned earlier is that, like, the contractors are not brought into the process really until the design process is over. And I did hear from multiple developers who said, you know, once you bring in a general contractor, the firm that's actually going to build this, mm-hmm. And when you build them, when you bring them in late in the process, it's really hard to wring out costs.
Yeah.
And so what you really want to do is bring them in at the beginning of the process so they can say, that's going to be really expensive. You might want to use this material instead, or you might want to design it this way.
Right.
And so, that's a credible explanation to me.
David, Lightfoot also mentions listening to communities and partnership. How has the listening and partnering aspect actually been with community organizations like yours?
Yeah, that's something we're constantly engaged in. We are always reaching out to the community, getting input, hearing what expectations and what kind of aspirations communities have. And so certainly housing is paramount when we engage communities. It varies. Sometimes there's more of a need for rental housing, but we're also finding a need for home ownership. And so part of what we're starting to focus more on is bringing new housing to neighborhoods that have been depopulated and providing affordable home ownership opportunities.
How's your organization responding to these prices and adapting at the same time?
Yeah, I think it's a challenge. Albie talked about increasing just construction pricing in general. We're certainly seeing that. But I think that's one of the responsibilities as a developer that we have is to manage costs and to be disciplined about making sure that when we're getting bids from contractors, that we're scrubbing those carefully, figuring out if there are ways to value engineer the project and bring those costs down. Because I think in Albie's story touched on this, every dollar that is put into one of these very expensive kind of Invest Southwest units is one less dollar that can be used for affordable housing across the city. And so this is a finite pot of money. This is not, you know, some kind of an infinite program. And so that's what concerns me is that, you know, that we're really being good stewards and using every dollar that the public has to mm-hmm. stretch those as far to create as many new units of housing, affordable housing, as we can.
And, how does this impact the taxpayer?
Well, I think the taxpayer is ultimately the ones that are paying, particularly the government costs. So to the extent the government is subsidizing these units, yes, that does fall on the taxpayer.
Is it clear, Albie, you know, what solutions look like to bring down these costs?
Well, I think the city could, change the way it's vetting. I don't have any specific ideas for you there, but it could change the way it's vetting these proposals and going through the process. I don't, David might have better ideas than I do. But I'm sure they're probably looking at that at this point. I mean, we do have a new administration in, so I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to figure out ways to make this work better. Invest Southwest is still pretty much in the early phases. I mean, there are 10 neighborhoods, Chicago neighborhoods, that are part of this program, and I was trying to add it up, but I think maybe only 3 or 4 have had groundbreakings, at least that I'm aware of. So I do think there probably are changes that the city could make.
Well, I'll give you the last word, David. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to build on what Albie said. I think one of the things that we would like to see, and I am a member of the Johnson Administration Housing Transition Committee, and one of the things that we've been encouraging is to think more about building 3 flats, 2 flats, where you do provide home ownership options and you provide the ability to have affordable rental housing. I think if you look citywide, some of the most kind of naturally occurring affordable housing happens in 2 flats and 3 flats where folks may be renting to their brother or cousin or friend. And so we would like to see more of an emphasis kind of going back to the, many of our original kind of Chicago neighborhoods, which were predominated by, 2 flats and graystones and brownstones and bungalows.
We'll leave it there. That's President of Chicago Neighborhood Initiatives, David Doig, and Crane's reporter, Albie Galoon. Thank you both so much. This episode of Reset was produced by Michael Liptrot, and it was edited by Andrew Merriweather and Stephanie Kim. Get Reset every morning in your inbox by subscribing to our newsletter. You can start the day with the biggest headlines you need to know and find out about fun things happening in the city. That'll do it for Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you this afternoon.